storm just won't break. Is there a mountain in front of you that doubt says will never move? And you wonder, will God make a way? Well, tell me a time He's not been faithful. Tell me a morning His mercies weren't new. Tell me a moment He wasn't able to carry you through. Tell me a day He was less than almighty, when He could not roll back the tide. Child, when you look back, you're gonna find there was never a time.
So be strong in the Lord and remember to take hold of faith and stand firm. Oh, you can be confident the Lord keeps His promises. If you doubt Him, just read through His word.
Well, tell me a time He's not been faithful. Tell me a morning His mercies weren't new. Tell me a moment He wasn't able to carry you through. Tell me a day He was less than almighty, when He could not roll back the time. Child, when you look back, you're gonna find there was never a time.
He can work miracles through the impossible. If you don't believe it, just go on and try.
Tell me a time He's not been faithful. Tell me a morning His mercies weren't new. Tell me a moment He wasn't able to carry you through. Tell me a day He was less than almighty, when He could not roll back the tide. Child, when you look back, you're gonna find there was never a day He was less than almighty, when He could not roll back the tide. Child, when you look back, you're gonna find there was never a time, never a time.
There was never a time. While walking down a memory lane of paths of long ago, old Satan came right by my side, making me feel low. He brought up thoughts of hurt and pain when I had gone astray. He wanted to discourage me as I walked along the way. He said, you're undeserving, 'cause I know where you've been. I have a record of your life when you were bound by sin. I know your darkest secrets that you would never tell. What makes you think you don't deserve a place with me in hell? Well, I heard the old accuser, and this was my reply. You're right for all the things I've done. I do deserve to die. My righteousness is filthy rags. My goodness is unclean. There's only one thing I can say to what you said to me. It's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life's been changed, not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood. Victory was given me when I was born again. He washed my stained and sinful past and gave new life within. No longer do I bear the marks that sin had brought my way. With happiness and peace of mind, praise God, I now can say, it's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life's been changed, not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life's been changed, not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood.
That was very good, Ray. I think you might enjoy that just a little bit, Mike. There you go. Good to be here. Judy, have another birthday next week, okay? You don't know. Judy got young'uns, and they all surprised her. I don't know. We knew it. I don't know why she didn't know it. That's good. Good to be here. Good to see Matt and Greta and the children. Appreciate it. I say children, my goodness, I have to look up to one of them. My goodness alive. Cheerios works, all right? Just keep that in mind. Good to be in the house, Lord. Good to have you here. Be much in prayer. We need prayer, and you need to practice, all right? Turn your Bible to the book of Mark, chapter number 9. Mark, chapter number 9. Going to read a scripture that I can't get away from. When you look at the book, there are some things that's going to happen that when you put it together, if you're lost without God, you got troubles. The Old Testament, we get to read of things like from Genesis or Exodus and how that God looked at Abraham. Abraham just believed God, trusted him by faith. We read in Hebrews about how that God looked at Abraham and what he called him and all those blessed things about Abraham. Story goes on a little bit further, and because of that promise, children of Israel get to go into a land that the Lord said, I'll just show you the direction. I'll get you there, all right? Well, they don't know where they're going. We know it was Israel. We know that's where they're headed. But they don't know where they're going. Well, they have to follow. They have to follow by faith. They have to just trust God. But the Old Testament, a lot has a lot of dealings pointing. It has a lot of pointing. And that pointing is trusting, having faith, believing God, but it's pointing to something. And that pointing, we know that Abraham believed it. Well, we can go back further than that, all right? But we know that Abraham believed that God had a promise. And God had a promised person. And that promised person, whenever he came onto this earth, his feet was going to walk on it. And in fact, the Old Testament is filled with the prophetic scriptures that said he's actually going to die on a cross. And when he dies on that cross, he's going to shed his blood, and there is a supreme sacrifice. Now, that's the good part. But what we're going to read about tonight, we don't have enough time to go through all the scriptures. But I want to just pick up on some things about what the Lord is all going to offer, not to skip and say, well, we all get to go, because we all don't get to go to heaven. We don't. If you don't trust and have faith in Jesus, you're not going. I mean, you can be as religious as you want, and you can go to church all your life, but you'll die and go to hell. So let's pick up reading, and I know there's so much I'd love to read, but I can't. But I want to pick up in verses 41, okay? Verses 41. Did I tell you the ninth chapter? I hope I did, all right? The ninth chapter. Here we go. For whosoever, and I've got to concentrate, and I want you to listen to words. I don't care if you pay a lot of attention, but listen to words, all right? Listen. Whosoever shall give you a cup of water. Cup of water. Must be something more, because everybody can give us a cup of water. In fact, I've had a lot of folks over my years, sometimes somebody will bring a cup of water up here. And if they give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ. Did it say there, save folks? It said a whosoever. Now, I want you to keep that in mind. I want you to listen to that. If you don't do anything, listen. Whosoever shall give you a cup of water drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. There's a deeper meaning in that. Now, remember, Jesus is saying this, so I've got to kind of speed it up. Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it's better for him to have that a millstone was hanged about his neck, and focus on this right here, and he were cast into the sea. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands and go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. Better for thee to enter into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Sound like I'm repeating myself, doesn't it? And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out, for it's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word. I thank you for the privilege of being able to read your word and, God, what it means. I ask you, God, to look at our hearts, examine where we're headed. God, you know whether tonight we're saved or lost. You know tonight their condition. And I pray, God, you'll strengthen us and help us. God, help us not to be weary in well-doing. God, help us also to be mindful to warn the wicked of the wicked way. Guide us and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Very strong words. Very, very powerful words. In our day of living, whenever I was younger, it would seem like you could turn on the radio, especially on Sunday morning, and you'd hear somebody preach about not going to hell. As times has gone along, we've got so much educated people in our world. We're ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, but we're getting smarter. But it seems like the message has changed to suit the people. Teachers having those itching ears. But I'm not after try to change the world, because the world is a great place. It's a big place. It's a wonderful place for those that's of the world. But I'm not of this world. I want you to listen carefully, though. There is a message that needs to be delivered. And that message is for the ones that hear it. That message is not, oh boy, I'd get them folks if they was here at church tonight. That message ain't for them. They're not here. God knows where to put you. God knows whether or not you're doing right or wrong or if you're not. If you're not doing right, God knows it, okay? But this message, I want you to listen. As I began to look, I couldn't get away from simple little words. Now, if I go to the Old Testament and start bringing up about Jesus dying for man's sin, oh, that'd be a wonderful thing. If I was to tell you that judgment is coming, I could tell you that the Bible tells us that in Revelation, just a little bit further down the road, the Bible's going to actually say things like this: the dead, small and great, are going to stand before God. Whoa. How many times have I repeated that? I want you to understand, because there's going to come a time where everybody that lost are going to stand before God. That's a troubled time. But watch. This particular case, Jesus, not a disciple, not secondhand, as I'm going to call that, which is just fine, but I want to call it Jesus, is going to bring up some things. And what he's going to bring up is going to be a little bit different than the way the world views it. Do you know the world believes that we'll have a good time in hell, we're going to party and all that kind of stuff? You know you're not going to, you're not going to just all of a sudden walk into hell. You're not. In fact, whenever you die, the only references that we have in the Bible that gives us anything, we're going to be, as we've read here, there's going to be some casting. You're not going to walk into hell. You're not going to be able to say, well, you know, in hell, I'll be able to go if I want to go to hell. In fact, there's some people that I have known in my lifetime that have not been saved, and they have died. Boy, I'd like to be able to say, well, how did that work out for you? Everything going? No, I can't say that, because it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I want you to listen. You won't volunteer to go to hell, no matter how much you try to say it don't matter if I get saved or not, because it does matter. You will be cast into hell without the grace of God. Now you listen and listen carefully. The grace of God is a blessing to have. Whenever I was saved, and if you've been saved tonight, you get the bounty. You get to enjoy the bounty. You get to enjoy the privilege of having grace applied in everything. The mercy of God is given to me because of the grace of God. Let me repeat that part. We don't work for the grace of God. That grace of God is free. It is without works. We get God's grace given to us. And that grace that's given to us, along with that grace, is mercy. Now, lost people are not going to have the grace of God, and they're not going to have the mercy of God. This is a trouble situation. When you see people that say things like, well, I have this problem. He talks about hands and he talks about feet and all that kind of stuff. When you go off into hell, you're going to have to bear the burden of hell. Now, you remember how that animals were used in the Bible, that the oxen. There was a scripture that talks about the ark of God being on this new cart. And this ark of God was being pulled by oxen. They were bearing, well, that's a term that if you are pulling something, that burden that you're carrying, these animals were pulling, they were bearing the burden of the cart. Now, what was on that cart was the ark of God. That animal began to hit a little old hole, shook that cart. When it shook that cart, a man close by, he decides to steady the ark. That didn't work well. You don't intervene with what God does. We may think we got the grace and the privilege and the mercy of God. We come to the house of God. We stand up. We can testify about God. We can sing about His praises. We get a lot of leeway as children of God. But when you're lost, you don't get a lot of leeway. I have the mercies of God extended to me that sometimes whenever I pray, God will actually answer my prayer with what I might request. That's the mercies of God. But to a lost man, he must bear the burden of hell. The Bible says there's going to be fire in hell. He will bear that burden. He will not to be like the oxen that's pulling the cart, because you know oxen, they're just, I'm going to call them a dumb animal. You put a harness on them, you take a horse, you put a bridle in his mouth, and you'll be able to steer him, to direct him. You take that oxen, he pulls that, you kind of lead him one way, you put them in a direction. They're just dumb animals. They don't have a soul. Me and you have a soul. We're different from a dumb animal. But with that soul comes responsibility. And bearing the burden of hell is a responsibility you and you alone will share. You can't go and ask for help. Your buddies can't help you in hell. And friend, I've got testimony of folks that's not saved that died. They can't call back and say, can I call a friend like that TV show and call a friend and call a preacher and that preacher will pray me out of hell. There is no such thing as purgatory. There is no such thing as relief. There you will bear the burden of hell all by yourself. Bible tells me that Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But Jesus can't help you when you're in hell. Not even the Lord Jesus will go against His own word. Friend, when this particular thing takes place, hell is going to be a troubled, burdensome place. It's going to be a place with no mercy. It's going to be, and we haven't even talked about the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenching. And Jesus repeated it. If something like that is happening, if we're seeing the reality of hell, why are not we seeing repentance? Listen, the words that was used, it would be better not to have a foot, a hand. It would be better to live in this life without certain things than to go into hell with all those things. Now, I must kind of get you to the part of where the rich man died. The scripture tells us when the rich man died, he lifted up his eyes in torment. That's that bearing the burden. When the rich man died, he looked and saw at a distance the mercy of God to Lazarus. When the rich man died, he saw the goodness of God. Don't you think that's going to be relevant to everybody that goes to hell? They're going to see all those things that the rich man saw? Don't you think that they'll have the understanding what they could have had and what they got? Because what they could have had, they could have had heaven just like a friend of mine Lazarus and everybody else that's been born again that has died. But listen, the reality is they get none of it. Because here's what's happening. I told you in the beginning, they're cast. They're thrown. We have a little reference to this in the book of Daniel. When we have... some boys over there that they decide, well, they're not going to bow their knee. And man, the leader over there, the king says, well, you will bow your knee. If you don't bow your knee, we're going to cast you in that lake of fire. Well, sure enough, they did. There's a lot of things happening in between, but I'm not. They did. They cast them right in there. And it's so funny. The casters, not the wheels, the ones that throwed them in, died. You might ought to be careful what job you get in this world. You might die pretty quick. Well, hang on with me. I know what God's going to do. God's going to get the demons. And they're going to cast folks into hell. God don't need the devil to do his work. In fact, the Bible tells us that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. You think God's going to just say, well, we'll just let some of them do their own dirty work? No. Friend, one day, I really believe that death angel is going to come and visit each and every person upon this earth. Now, we got the luxury of hopefully a rapture soon. But the death angel's come and visit. And when that death angel comes, he knows where you're going. We know according to the Bible, whosoever name will not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We know that because we've got an assurance of that. We can read it in for ourselves. But listen. If you've ever known God, if you've ever been saved, if you know that you've been born again, you don't have to worry about reading it in the book. Because if you read that particular scripture, is in the book of Revelation a little bit later on down the road. Friend, it's going to all be settled a long time before that. It's settled in heaven the day that you got saved. That's already settled. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to hope for it. You don't have to wish for it. It's already done. Your name's already there. Watch this. So when it comes time, there's going to be a communication. It ain't going to be a cell phone. Nah, we don't need those. It's going to be a communication. That communication, whenever you die, if you die lost, there's not going to be any intervention. Intervention. Because that death angel has one job in this world. You remember the death angel came and visited over in the land of Egypt. And that death angel come, and there were some specific instructions for the death angel. Whenever he come into town, he was to look for one thing. And one thing only. He didn't look for the king. He didn't look for the pauper. He didn't look for the beggar. He didn't look for nobody else. He came to look for one thing. You see, he don't come for church membership. No, sir. He came to look for the blood. Amen. You know something? As a preacher, I get special privileges going to heaven. No, sir. As somebody that's educated, well, you know that ain't true. But as somebody that's educated, I get to go to heaven. Ain't true. Friend of mine, if you don't have the blood applied, you're not going. Now, here's how this works. Death angel comes on that night in the book of Exodus, goes up, sees that house, and you know, according to what he was told, if they're in the house, if that firstborn is in that house with that blood applied, just go on to the next one. You know something? When you die lost, that death angel is going to come and visit you, and he's going to look for that very same thing, and that very same thing is the blood. And if he don't have that blood applied, guess what he's going to do? Pick you up and cast you into what? Hell. You see, God don't need the devil. But the devil comes to tempt you so that you won't be saved. In fact, when you hear words like we have read to your hearing tonight, well, it's better for you to be halt, lame. It's better you have your eye plucked out. Friend, those are the type of things that the devil could say to you. You don't have to do all that. You can do what you want to do and live like you want to live. And at the end, God's going to take us all to heaven. You're going to die. And you're going to go to hell. Because the Bible says that fire is not quenched. The worm died not, and that fire will not be quenched. In fact, when you go, you will go alone. But wait a minute. There's one little more thing. You will always be alone. Maybe you didn't hear that. Forever and ever, you'll always be alone. I kind of believe this. I can only look at a little bit of scriptures. But I really believe that part of hell to the rich man was seeing Lazarus. I kind of believe that part of hell, or the lake of fire, as we go over in Revelation, a part of that is to be able to see. They could see what they could have had. Now, it's only a one-way mirror, and we can kind of understand that in our modern day. Because we won't be able to see into hell or the lake of fire. We won't be able to see there because that would be punishment for us, because when God shall wipe away all tears, that memory is one of those things that goes with it, and I'm thankful for that. I am thankful for that. I would hate to go throughout eternity remembering somebody that didn't get to make it, that was my loved ones. Hey, it might be all right for you, because I'll forget you. But friend of mine, I'd hate for my loved ones, right? Give me 20 years and I won't even remember your name, and you sure won't remember mine. I was over at Corinth Church, and I don't get to see them folks over there very much. A fellow walked up and said, "Hey, Redmond Talley." And I thought, man, how do you remember my first name? You might remember Brother Talley, but he remembered my first name. I almost fell out and fainted. Now, if you're my family, you kind of know that. Reality comes. God will never forget my name. I want to close with this. I want you to think about it. Every one of us read this. Every one of us read about people that's going to die and go to hell. And you know what folks will say? Folks will say things like this. Boy, that was a good message. That's the truth. Man, that's wonderful. And I read the words of Jesus and I hear him that the people's going to be cast into hell. But what I don't read and what I don't understand is, friend, we get to enjoy the mercies of God. But friend, let me listen and listen very carefully to this. There is going to be people that we know are going to plunge off into a hell because we do nothing about it. Because the Bible is very clear about warning the wicked of their wicked way. And it's very clear that says, if you don't warn the wicked, there's going to be blood required at not their hand, but at your hand. In other words, there's going to be some to you because you didn't warn them. There's going to be some accountability even to God's people for not warning the wicked. I want to see folks in heaven. But I also deal with a lot of hard-headed folks, and you do too. Many folks you invite, many folks you'd say, you ought to live for God, or however you witness to them. And many folks that you talk to, they'd say, oh, yes, I go to church. And friend, when are we going to get that out of our mind and out of our hearts and that we think church is the answer? It's not. It's Jesus is the answer. And when we get that, then we can see. I want to ask you this. Are you ready? Because you're not ready. We could be actually talking about you. I made it ready a long time ago. But a friend of mine, it just seemed like yesterday, the day that I got saved. It just seemed like it's just been a flash before my eyes. How about you? Are you ready to leave this world? Brother Greg, song. I don't know your heart or your life, but I know the Lord. And the Lord makes a difference in mine. He makes a difference in these verses. And you notice I didn't go through all those things and talked about how this one or how that one and all that. It's how it's able, how you're able to live maybe a little bit different. Friend, we got different folks all around this world right now, but we got a whole bunch of folks dying going to hell. Whole bunch of folks. I can't get over how many folks that we know that are going to die and go to hell. Go to Walmart. Just visit Walmart. Look down the aisles and you'll see all kinds of folks. If you start putting some percentages to how many folks are going to go to heaven and how many folks are going to go to hell, wow. When we lived in Nashville all those years, I'd go to the ball game, go to the Titan Stadium, and occasionally it's like, good Lord, look how many people. Go down to these baseball games, Tuscaloosa or Auburn or whatever. Look at how many people, but look how many of those same folks are going to die and go to hell. Friend, something's got to wake the church up. Hell's going to be the only thing, a reality for lost folks. We need to see folks saved. Let's stand our feet. God's speaking to you, and you need to come. You come and pray.